184. That's the number of players that Coach Dean Smith coached in his time at UNC. 184 is also the number of calls that he would make to former players every year. Smith had this tradition to call each player on their birthday. It was just this way that he would continue to invest in those relationships after those players had left his program. It was something special he did that created this fraternity, this brotherhood at UNC amongst the basketball players that is well known in college basketball. Even after Smith's death in 2015, though, he was still investing in those relationships. There's a powerful story about how he left $200 checks for all 184 of his former players with a short note saying, "Enjoy dinner out with the family. Compliments of coach." Apparently, even billionaire Michael Jordan got a check. He really wanted his players to know they were loved, not just after they played for him, but even after he was gone. As coaches, we love to hear from our former players, whether it is a text, a phone call, a wedding invitation, Christmas card, baby announcement, whatever it is. These can be some really special moments in coaching. We coach for the relationships, and these points of contacts are special regardless of how small they are. But here's the thing. How often do we just wait to hear from our former players? Well, in today's episode, we are going to talk about some ways that we can stop waiting and start investing in those former player relationships. Because if we say we care about our players as people, not just for what they do for us on the court or the field, then we can't stop investing in the relationship after they have finished playing for us. Welcome to the Coaching Culture Podcast, brought to you by Thrive on Challenge. I'm JP Nurbin, joined by my friend and co-host Nate Sanderson. Each week in about 30 minutes, we discuss important principles and strategies of transformational leadership. At Thrive on Challenge, we help coaches to raise the standards and strengthen the relationships in their program because we know this type of culture produces better leaders, better people, and better results. To learn more about how we can help you, go to thriveonchallenge.com, where you can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter and get the coaching notes to every episode of this podcast. You're listening to episode 151, Relationship Building with Former Players. Coaches, before we get into today's episode, just want to tell you a little bit about our Competitive Cauldron training course and spreadsheet. The Competitive Cauldron is a simple system that's going to help you to objectively track and rank your players' practice performance. The result is players are going to be more bought into the role and they're going to be more competitive in practices. The training course is going to help you design and implement the cauldron within your program. The spreadsheet will help you to track each player's win percentage and rank them throughout the season. There's a link to the training in the episode details of today's podcast. Also, use the coupon code CCPODCAST to save 10% off.
Well, JP, I appreciate you sharing that story about Dean Smith in the opener here, because if there's one thing that Dean Smith has been known for over the years, besides being Michael Jordan's collegiate coach, it's the relationship and kind of the fraternity that has developed of former players that have stayed not only in contact with him, but with each other over multiple generations of players at the University of North Carolina. And we think about and talk about on this podcast being transformational coaches all the time. One of the foundational planks of that philosophy is that we care more about the person than the player. And in our conversation and getting ready for today's episode, where we're going to talk about how we go about maintaining relationships with former players, I just reached out to a handful of players that have played for me over the years and asked them, what was the benefit of still being somewhat connected, you know, a year later, 2 years later, 5 years down the road? And the thing that nearly every one of them said in one way or another was, you always said that you cared about us more as people than as players when we played for you, but it's become obvious now that we don't play for you because you still care about us as people. And so what we're going to talk about here today is just some practical strategies that can help coaches to be able to be more intentional about maintaining those connections with their former players as the years go by.
So as we're getting going here, Nate, I want to clear one thing up for the listeners, and that is we're talking about former players today. We're not talking about alumni, and there's a little bit of a difference in that. You know, for someone like yourself and myself who've coached multiple teams and multiple locations, when we come into a program, the alumni is oftentimes not our players. So we're really talking about former players and a way to stay connected. But that still can be done through some alumni events. You know, and you have done some really unique things, because I think there's always the traditional alumni night, you know, that many programs have, or there's the newsletter that they send out to the alumni, letting them know all the things that are going on in the program, you know, maybe even just how the, you know, the scores of the games, you know, the results, and maybe asking for a little bit of money as well, you know. But you haven't just been hitting up your alumni for money. You've been trying to invest in those relationships, especially with the ones that were your former players.
So the way that we're going to kind of conduct the conversation here is we're going to start with some examples of things that cast a wide net, you know, something that you can invite lots of former players to, not necessarily in a one-on-one setting, but in a group setting, right? So common examples of that in basketball, for example, might be, you know, the last Friday night home game of the calendar year that typically falls during Christmas break. You might invite your former players to, you know, come to the home game, watch the game, and then anybody that's interested, you know, maybe we go out for wings afterwards. Or maybe it's homecoming night during the football season, or maybe it's senior night during the soccer season, you know, whatever it might be, but it's a broad invitation that to something that's already taking place. Now, we've over the years kind of taken that up a notch or two. And in fact, probably our most successful event that we've ever done with former players happened about 5 years ago when I was at Springville. And we had a tradition at the time that we would host a high school camp for all our high school players in July. And we finished camp on a Thursday or Friday afternoon, typically with a scrimmage against former players that would come back and we would play against them. Well, over the years, it was harder and harder to get former players to come back because, you know, we'd send them a message a week before, 2 weeks before and say, hey, can you make it on this Friday? And things would come up, they wouldn't be able to make it, right? So in 2015, we decided to be a little more proactive. So in March, when we scheduled our high school camp, we created save the date flyers, you know, like you would send to somebody for a wedding date, made about 25 or 30 of them and mailed them out to all these former players to encourage them to reserve this date in July to come back and play against our current team. And not only that, but then afterwards, so we'd play about 4 o'clock. There's one restaurant in town in Springville. We talked to the owner and we said, hey, we want to do kind of a former player, kind of alumni night. Could we reserve some space? And so, you know, we carved out a room and had all of the families of our current players, along with our current players, our former players, and even a few alumni from Springville that didn't play for me, invited them all to come out for dinner at Sally's afterwards and just enjoy a time of hanging out. And we got not only the best turnout for our scrimmage that year that we ever did, but we packed that restaurant. Every seat nearly was taken with somebody that was affiliated with our program, again, from multiple generations, and even had players that had played for me at a different school that came back to play and be part of that night. And it was just an awesome experience for everybody to be a part of.
So one of the things that I love about your approach, Nate, is that you're not necessarily doing the same thing every year. I think a lot of times when we talk about these alumni or former player traditions, we feel like we've got to be like North Carolina basketball, which I think has the tradition of they go to the beach every year and former players are always invited, you know, like, and coaches at high school obviously probably don't have a beach house and access to those type of resources. And it's just, it doesn't necessarily to be the same thing every year. I love how you continuously try to change it up based upon what's going on, you know, and just where you're coaching at. And I think that's a really, really important aspect. The other thing I think you do a really good job of, though, is there is the like alumni former player events, but you also do other events that are bringing the former players together with the current players, and you're having kind of events where they're sharing experiences together. So why don't you share a couple examples for coaches on what that looks like?
Well, there's a couple things that come to mind, JP, that we've done to intermingle former players with current players. And one of the reasons I think that that's valuable, even before we talk about how we do that, is because our former players bring so much experience and maybe even more importantly, a different perspective on their playing days. And this isn't to get into some Bruce Springsteen song here about the glory days, but when they're looking back at the opportunity to play high school basketball 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, I think it's valuable for our current players to be able to understand what has stayed with them over the years. And a lot of times it's not the big wins. It's not even necessarily the state championships as much as it's the experience and the relationships and the locker room and the uniform and the opportunity to get to compete. And by sharing some of that in different ways or encouraging former players to share that with your current players, I think it gives that current team just a better appreciation for what they have, to enjoy those experiences while they're still there. So how do we do that? Well, there's a couple things. One thing that we've done for a number of years, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, is the Shooting Olympics. And so for a long time, you know, our current players would be split out into teams. And we had an agreement over these 10 shooting drills that if you won the Shooting Olympics, no matter what year in school you were, you had to come back and defend the gold medal next year. And so, you know, oftentimes we'd have two seniors and a freshman that might win. Those two seniors that are now in college, they got to come back over break, pair with that freshman that's now a sophomore, and defend their title, right? And there are times where other alumni might come back and be mixed into some of those teams just to be able to, for them, lace it up and get some shots up again and interact with some players that they might have played with that were younger than them. But it creates sort of this family feel that goes beyond just the time that you're actually in uniform from your freshman to your senior year. There's other simple ways to do that. You know, there's been a couple years where we've had our current varsity team cook a meal and serve former players. Again, they come back, maybe you invite them over to the coach's house, but the current team prepares a meal for former players. That's a fun way to do it. And I know a lot of coaches do this, but just creating opportunities for former players to address the team. Maybe it's summer camp, maybe it's pregame, postgame during the season. And we've talked about this on the podcast before as well, but typically the three questions that we want former players to address in those kind of situations are, one, what are you up to now? You know, are you in college? You got a job? You married? What are you doing? Two, what do you miss the most about your high school basketball experience? And three, how did your basketball experience affect who you are or what you're doing today? And again, the purpose of all that is just to, one, allow them to stay connected, but two, to create kind of a greater appreciation and perspective for our current team.
Yeah, Nate, I love those three questions of asking the alumni to kind of answer and share with the team. You know, what are you up to now? What do you miss the most? How has your basketball experience affected you today? There's something about just asking them to come back and speak to your team that's not even just about the connection, you know, and not just about the lessons that they could actually impart to your players, but I think it honestly makes them feel valued. You know, I think it just, they feel special about that. I know that when I've been invited to connect with, you know, some of my former programs, that it's felt like a real honor, you know, and not that this should be the reason, but they might be a little bit more incentivized to open up their checkbook when you ask for a donation at the end of the year, you know, not that that should be the reason, but I think there's a little bit of honor that comes along with that. And you feel honored to be, you know, brought back in there. And I think people jump at those opportunities. So that's something I think coaches should look at doing throughout their season, potentially. The other thing that you mentioned just all these different ideas about mixing your players. Something that was really impactful for me as a player, and then I used to do with my teams, was having former players come back and actually, if they were still in shape and could run around the court, play. But not, you know, just do like, oh, the alumni or former players against the current roster, but mixing the players in, especially in the off season. It's a fantastic way for those older players to demonstrate on-court leadership skills. And also, maybe even, you know, I remember that so many of our former players at my high school would pull me aside and have a conversation. They would tell me, man, we see a lot of talent in you. We're really excited about where you're going. I remember those conversations, and they were almost like little mini mentors throughout the season or the off season. And so I think just bringing your former players in and allowing them to play whatever sport it is, soccer, you know, flag football or, you know, basketball with your players, I think allows them to start to build some potential mentorship type relationships with your team.
You know, JP, there's a great story in C. Vivian Stringer's book, Standing Tall. She's the former women's basketball coach at the University of Iowa, now has been at Rutgers for a number of years. And in the book, she talks about having a lot of success early at Rutgers and then encountering a team that she felt like didn't know how to practice. They didn't know the level of intensity and competitiveness that was going to be necessary for them to get to that, you know, Final Four level that they had been at for a number of years. And so she tells this story of over Christmas break, she invited some of her former players from Rutgers to come back and practice. And her current players, I don't remember exactly if they just watched the practice or they practiced with the former players, but she said it was a turning point in her season because even when they're coming back after their collegiate playing days, they were setting an entirely different standard for the level of effort and focus and intensity and practice that her current team just, it was like they weren't even aware of. And so her use of former players and their care for the program was really demonstrated, you know, in that particular story as well.
So, Nate, I remember a couple of years ago, you actually inspired me just by some of the stories that you would share of the conversations that you were having with your former players. Like, you were still in touch with them. You're still having this dialogue and maybe meeting up with them for lunch. And I was like, man, do I really make an effort, you know, with some former players? And, you know, I live in a different country than a lot of them, and, you know, and it's not, I can meet them up at the local, you know, sub shop for lunch, but I could start to actually invest in those relationships. And, you know, you and Dean Smith with his little note thing inspired me for 1 year to every day during the week, I made a commitment to text, email, or Facebook message at least one of my former players and just reach out and say, hey, you know, I still think of you from time to time. I loved coaching you. It was a great opportunity. Maybe there was a few apologies in there for some crazy days of my coaching, you know, just for a few laughs and stuff, but just really try to reach out and connect with them through that simple kind of commitment that really honestly took less than like a couple, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. You know, it was just a very short time that all it took just to send that message. And that was really powerful because you got a variety of responses. Some of them were no response, you know, so I clearly did not connect with those players. But other players, you know, it was just really cool to hear how they were doing. And we might strike up a conversation and probably, you know, talk, and maybe there's a few messages back and forth and got to hear how they're doing. And that just felt great. Others, they actually picked up the phone, called me, man, coach, I've been thinking of you. You know, just we reminisced, we talked about stories. It just felt good. And that led to us actually having more continued conversations, which some of them now, because of that text, I'd say we talk every few months. So that's really special. And then there was honestly a couple, and one in particular that really stuck out to me. And I reached out to a player and he was going through a real tragedy in his life. You know, his sister had gotten seriously injured in this accident. And for whatever reason, he hadn't reached out to me. But I was able to be there for him through this kind of family tragedy that he was going through, just text and follow-ups for the next few months. And that really resonated with me because, yeah, not only did I just capitalize or essentially was there during that time and able to make that connection, but I was like, man, how many times have players felt that they just couldn't reach out, you know? And I think, yeah, you could do the bigger events for your team, but I think just occasionally, whether it's a once a year thing or maybe every few years, reaching out to former players and letting them know the door is there. And maybe some of them aren't going to respond, like some of them didn't respond to my text, but you're letting them know that you still care and it's open, so that they can reach out maybe in times that they really do need you.
You know, JP, there's been a couple of ways that we've done that over the years pretty consistently. One is just, God bless Facebook for reminding me about birthdays. You know, when you follow former players after they graduate, I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook, but those notifications are huge for me because anytime a former player comes up, you know, I'm always going to send them a text on their birthday. Just, you know, happy birthday. Hope things are going well. Just want to let them know that I was really thankful for the opportunity to be their coach. You know, just like you said, sometimes that leads into more of a conversation and they want to know how we're doing and our family and stuff like that. But that's been a real regular touch point for us. The other one that we've done, and this is with coaching girls, so this may not work for everybody, but every Valentine's Day for, you know, my whole career, basically, during the season, we've always gotten flowers for every player in our program. We write a little handwritten note of appreciation on every one of those. But for a long time, those flowers were carnations with our former players. I don't know where they're at to be able to send them flowers when they're in college, and I don't really want to fight their boyfriends either. But I'll just get a picture, you know, of a carnation and send them a text with that and a similar message of just appreciation. You know, it's just so great to be your coach and you did this for our team, or this is what we miss about you and hope things are going well or whatever. And I remember this Valentine's Day, you and I were together in Portland at the Equilibria training. And that night, you know, after we had gone out for dinner after our training, I went back to my hotel room and for the next probably hour and a half was just sending messages to kids, you know, former players that I still keep in touch with, just tell them that I appreciate them, you know. And again, it just leads to some opportunities to stay in touch and see how things are going.
Some of these things might seem like a lot of work to coaches, you know, like, you know, sending the daily text, you know, and I think, or something that we just easily forget. And I remember that year, I just put a little reminder on my phone, send text to former player, right? It just would come up the same time every day and I'd scroll through my phone and send it. But I think in every coach's season and their career, we have some low points, you know, some points of this, of where our culture isn't where we want to be. And maybe our relationships aren't where we want to be with our players. And I think us being able to pull out maybe some of those former messages or just be able to pull on just some of those relationships with those players can be really valuable for us in two big ways. One of them is that they can sometimes just give us that affirmation that we need, that, hey, yes, we look at that player, we're talking to that player. Oh man, I remember that time when they were a sophomore. Man, we did not get along, but now look where we are, you know, just to continue to persevere in those relationships. The other thing I think that you do is a phenomenal job of, Nate, is you actually reach out to them with questions sometimes. And I'm not necessarily saying you're opening up, hey, we got a problem here with the team, but you do open up and ask questions that I think they help give you insights into your own coaching that help you to grow as a coach, or maybe just stay committed to the things that do work and that will continue to work if you can only persevere. And I mention this because I remember when I left Ireland coaching, I've coached there 5 years. Some of those kids I had coached 5 years. And you get in there and you start with a new team. Well, where are those relationships? They're nowhere close to where those relationships were with those players for 5 years. But what do we remember? We remember those relationships, the last relationships with players we had, where we're super connected. There's a lot of trust. And I think that's really hard sometimes for coaches to move to a new program, is because the relationships just, they take time and they take a lot of investment. And so I think it's important for us as coaches, for that very reason, to maintain those relationships with former players.
Well, I think that's a really interesting perspective and a really good point, especially when you're taking over a new program. You know, I remember, and I've done this, you know, I'm going on my fourth school now, you know, starting this fall. So you're resetting a lot of those relationships and starting from scratch with new players that you're coaching. And I remember reaching back to, you know, players that I did coach at previous schools and asking questions like, how long was it before you felt like comfortable running the offense? Or when did you really first feel like you could trust me when you were frustrated about something? Or, you know, when we did this drill or we taught something this way, was it this confusing for you? Like, just getting a perspective that we didn't necessarily have those conversations when they were players, but I can't necessarily get the perspective from new players because they don't know you. They don't necessarily trust you. You don't have that level of rapport. But going back and gaining from the perspective of former players when you're doing things similarly, I think is a great way to grow in your coaching and to be able to learn from their experiences with questions that maybe they're even more inclined to answer, honestly, now that they're out of the program than even if you would have asked them at the time.
Well, Nate, I think that's a big reason why coaches like to bring on former players on their staff. I think there's that level of trust and that level of experience and that they can lean on them for some of those questions. Now, I think there's kind of different tiers of relationships with any of our players when we're even currently coaching, but also, you know, former players. And not everyone we're going to have this really deep relationship with that we're super connected with. But I think many of us are fortunate to have players that, you know, were going to their wedding, or in my case, they came to my wedding, and, you know, where, you know, maybe you talk on a regular, consistent basis. And the transformational coaching or type of mentorship type of relationship doesn't end in high school or college, whenever they played for you. It extends beyond that. You're able to continue to pour into their life and have a really special, unique friendship at that stage. And I think those are obviously very life-giving and very fulfilling. Building those type of relationships can be a little bit challenging and a little bit difficult to navigate. But I think you have some really powerful ways that you've actually poured into your players long after they've played for you that have helped to create some more of those type of relationships.
Well, JP, I think that's an important observation because just like with our current players on our current team, every relationship is going to be different. And it doesn't change when they become former players. There are some relationships that are going to have a greater depth or a greater level of intimacy or familiarity, you know, where you get to know them better than others. And that continues when they go on into college. And I think it's okay, you know, for some of your former players to be happy to see you at the grocery store or catch up with you at a basketball game, but don't come to an alumni dinner. And it's fine for kids to come to an alumni dinner, but not necessarily want to be in a regular texting conversation or go to lunch with you one-on-one, you know, down the road. But for those really special relationships that last, I think the thing that's most meaningful to me is not just necessarily enjoying the relationship, but there's almost a responsibility there that I get the opportunity to be a positive influence in their life, even as their life changes. You know, as they go from being a player to being a college student to maybe being a young professional, I take that responsibility almost to change from being a coach to being a mentor very seriously. You know, it's an honor to be able to still hold that station in their life. So how do we maintain, you know, some of those special relationships that tend to last? Well, here's a couple of just really simple things that we do. One, I've got a handful of former players that like to check in weekly. So during the school year on Sunday afternoon, when I remember, I'll send them an individual text and I'll just ask, how was your week? And they like to be able to say, oh, I flunked this test or practice was this, or, you know, they just like that consistent check-in. And there's a handful of players I do that with. And they're interested in how things are going for our family too. And so that's one way. I've got another group of players, you know, anytime that we go anywhere, like we're driving to grandma's house, we're going to go by Iowa State University. Got a couple former players there. And every once in a while, we'll text them and we'll say, hey, we're going to be driving through on Friday night. You know, would you like to grab dinner? And I'm telling you, food is a great way to bring people together. There's a list of players that every summer, you know, I try to make sure that I get lunch with them at least one time just to, again, to check in, to see how their year was going, see how their summer's going. And it is maintaining a relationship more than just saying, hey, I'm here if you need anything. As you've talked about or we've talked about off air, it's really the evolution of coaching to mentorship to almost a friendship, you know, the friendship that started as a player-coach relationship, but has evolved into more than that, you know. And I think of an example with my daughter, who just turned 6 this summer, would say that her best friend is Macy Miller, who played for me for 2 years at Linmar and now is a freshman going to be a sophomore at Iowa State University. But there's a bond there, you know, that goes way beyond player and coach. And I think, you know, that's really the holy grail of what we'd like to see, you know, in terms of our relationships continuing after our players are done playing.
So you're really on to something there that I think is quite possibly the most important thing that I've taken from our conversation today. One of the things that I hear out of coaches, and I know I've said it myself, it's that we coach for the wedding invitation, the birth announcement, or even just that thank you letter from a player. You know, I got a very, very special one from a former player a few months ago who had just started to do his master's in psychology at Harvard. And he was really kind and attributed much of his success to his experience of playing for one of my teams in Ireland. And those are without a doubt really special moments. But I don't think they are the holy grail of coaching. For me, the holy grail of coaching is those player-coach relationships that really form into lifelong friendships. For instance, we had just moved as a family back to Ireland in November, and instead of going home to the States for Christmas, we stayed here. And my family and I, we actually had Christmas Day dinner at the house of one of my former players with his family. Now sitting there, catching up with him, talking life, and just having fun together, that was incredible. Sometimes, though, for me, these kind of reconnections with former players, these friendships, they haven't always been really positive, but they have been really meaningful. They've been really, really important. Just last year, a former player who I would kind of talk to every few months, he went into rehab for a drug addiction problem. That was really, really hard, but it was important. It was vitally important that I was there for him during that time. Probably my hardest moment in coaching, though, was a few years ago when a former player who I love dearly, who I had invested so much into trying to help him get out of a really horrible life situation, he called me from prison. And that was hard. That was really hard, right? Weekly calls to check in on him. I tried sending him books to read. And I tried to help find him some legal support. That was a really tough time, you know, for him. And it was tough for me as a coach to see one of my players, one of my former players, go through something like that. But it was important. And in both of those instances, in both those relationships with those players, honestly, I didn't do anything magical. I just would send a text or I'd make a call every few months. And I just let those young men know that they still mattered to me. I just worked to keep that door open.
What I would leave with coaches here is that, you know, as players get older, they go through different stages of life. They're college students and maybe a little unsure of their new setting and new situation. And having someone that's supportive and positive and encouraging in their life as a former coach can be really valuable. Then they graduate, they become young professionals, and, you know, you may lose touch a little bit more. And that's the natural cycle of life. But the thing I would really, you know, building off what you said there, is that when I think of the most significant conversations I've had with former players, a lot of times they're seasonal. They're going through something, and a lot of times I just stumbled upon them because I sent a random text. You know, we had Will Ray on our podcast a number of months ago, and he talked about how solitude and just meditating on what does my team need from me today or this week, and looking at his roster of players and just sort of listening and thinking about how can I best serve them and support them today. There have been so many times in my life when I walk past the cafeteria, and for whatever reason on that day, I think I used to sit with Murph at 8 o'clock in the morning every morning when she'd come to school and just catch up. I wonder what she's up to. And I text Murph and I say, hey, what's going on? I just passed our spot in the cafeteria. How are things going? And she just in that moment needed somebody to unload about, you know, a relationship or about a test or about whatever. And it was like, for whatever reason on that day, she came to mind. And so sometimes coaches, you know, when you think of a former player and you think, geez, I wonder what she's up to today, that might be a good inclination to reach out and ask, because it may be a season. It may be an indication that they need somebody in this moment or this week or for, you know, a conversation. And you just happen to be there by reaching out.
Well, that's it for today's episode. I think the call to action for our listeners is pretty simple. Pick up the phone, send a text, pick up a pen, write a note, open up your email, send a message, reach out to players. I'm sure as you're listening to this, you're thinking about certain players that you haven't heard from in a long, long time. That text, that note, that email, it could be life-changing, or it could just be a nice, genuine conversation with someone you haven't heard from in a while. Also, Nate and I would love to hear how this goes for you, so please shoot us an email with your story. Our emails are in the episode details of this podcast. Thanks for listening to the Coaching Culture Podcast. Please leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts and share this episode with some other coaches that may need this message as well.